We're going to dismiss the children for junior church at this time. They can walk back and meet Mrs. Shag, I believe. Right? Yes. Meet back there. And the rest of us, I'd like you to turn, please, to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1, for our scripture reading this morning. So glad to have Dr. Herbster with us today as our guest speaker. Dr. Herbster was a pastor for 30 years or so in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, and now works based out of different places, but does a lot of work in Washington, D.C. with a group called Advance USA, and looking forward to hearing more about that later on today. So appreciate Pastor Herbster's pastor's heart and his winsome spirit, desire to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. And he's asked us this morning to read the first chapter of James for our scripture reading, as his text is from this chapter. Just a word, we will have an opportunity for you to give a love offering to Dr. Herbster at the end of the service. I'll ask the ushers to put the plates in the back, and you're welcome to give through that. Or you can give to the Cash App. Just make sure you clearly designate it for Dr. Herbster so we can appropriately count it. But that will be at the end of the service. James chapter 1, I'll be getting reading in verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. May the Lord teach us today from his word as Dr. Herbster preaches to us.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, folks of Heritage Baptist Church, for your hospitality and for the wonderful day we had yesterday and for the opportunity of being a part of it. Do you understand how blessed you are? I'm a guy that grew up in Indiana, spent most of my life in Kansas City, and only once in a while get to come to New England. So may I say it again, do you understand how blessed you are? I know there's a lot of people coming to New England right now, probably not to come and preach at Heritage Baptist Church, but probably be coming to see the beautiful colors, the beautiful sunshine. But I that's wonderful, and I'm telling you, I really felt the warmth of New Englanders yesterday. That's supposedly not the way you are. That's why I go to South Carolina once in a while, just to have some, you know, folks warm up a little bit. But I'm telling you, whatever they say about New England is wrong as far as when it comes to the Christian community, because I'm telling you, what a wonderful time. And do you understand how blessed you are to have the Joseph family here serving with you? Wasn't that harp number a blessing? I didn't even know about the gifts of Marshall and Shaylin, and I didn't really understand, and I'm getting to experience it. And I'm telling you, there aren't very many places and many churches in the United States of America that you could go to and hear a special like that. I'm just, folks, sometimes you don't understand what you have. And I just want to tell you, this is Pastor Appreciation Month. Did you know that? And as a former pastor, I know sometimes we don't feel appreciated. Now, probably, Pastor Joe's, you all make him feel appreciated all the time. Everything is good. But go overboard this month. You do it for everybody else. Do it for pastors as well. Because I used to be one. Well, sort of still am one, but I'm just telling you, you are blessed. And I hope you understand how blessed you are. Beautiful facilities, beautiful spot, beautiful area of our country, beautiful people. And I'm thrilled to be here and have a little bit of time with you. Wish I had a little more. I've got to fly out tomorrow. I was telling the Joseph, I'm on the fast pace all the time. Just the ever-ready battery. That's kind of the way I've been. And I'm sorry my wife can't be here, but our daughter-in-law had hip replacement surgery on Tuesday, and so she's been watching the grandchildren. How many grandparents here? You understand, right? She would probably rather be with the grandchildren than be with me, right? Any other papas here that understand what grandmothers are like? I hope we'll be able to come back, and she'll be able to be with me sometime because she's a special lady, and I'm blessed to have her as my wife. But, you know, even though it's been a wonderful weekend, and I trust it's going to continue to be a wonderful weekend, have you ever had a bad weekend? I thought about yesterday being such a great day. Have you ever had a bad day? I'm glad you're all shaking your heads. Have you ever had a bad week, bad month? I was telling Pastor a little bit about a bad year that I had, and as a matter of fact, in a book that I wrote on pastors and deacons, I kind of talk about it in the last chapter of the book, because in 2003, if you went to Kansas City even now and talked to the folks at Tri-City and you said 2003, they'd probably say, oh me, because that was kind of our phrase, oh me, what's next? What's going to happen to our church next? And when it got to 04, we said, please, Lord, no more in 04. Then in 05, we said, please keep us alive in 05, and please get it fixed in 06, and if you don't get it fixed in 06, take us to heaven in 07. That's kind of the phrase, and I won't take the time this morning to tell you all of the challenges that we had in Kansas City, but I'll just tell you one big one. We had over $1 million embezzled from our ministry and the various things that we're involved in around the world, and our business manager ended up going to prison over there. But I'm just telling you, there are bad days, bad months, bad years. And you know what Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33? He said, in this world there shall be tribulation. Aren't you glad for heaven? Are you looking forward to heaven? I am looking forward to heaven. Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, and when I see all the signs of the world and all that I'm involved in Washington, D.C., we're getting closer. And you say, well, that's easy because we're every day we're getting closer. But I'm just telling you, I see the Matthew 24 signs right before us, even in the day in which we live, and the one worldism and everything that's going to take place in the last days. But I hope that you're going to remain faithful to the end. That's what I want to be faithful to the end. And I want to occupy even in the difficult days. And sometimes we don't handle difficulties properly. Well, maybe I should speak of myself, okay? I don't know you all that well yet. sometimes I don't handle difficulties properly. I don't respond to trials properly. Is there anybody else like that, that sometimes maybe have gotten a little disgruntled about things? Oh, good. Some of you are even raising your hands. Hallelujah. I told you you're warm, friendly folks. Well, I tell you, probably the biggest tragedy and difficulty in our life and our short time here on this earth is when our daughter-in-law was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 38 and later passed away of colon cancer at the age of 39. And our son was left without a wife and our five grandchildren were left without a mom. And it was kind of how I transitioned out of the pastorate in Kansas City because my son was the director of the Wilds Christian Camp in North Carolina. And when we found out that she had colon cancer and she home educated the children, my wife left me, moved from Kansas City to the Wilds in North Carolina. And I transitioned out of the pastorate and moved down there with her and got involved in what we'll be talking about during the Sunday school hour, Advance USA, and started traveling and working in some things. And because it was bleak. Hearing the news, you know, anytime you have the C word, right? Any of the rest of you had that C word in your family somewhere? I know there's no temptation taking you, but it's just common to man. But hallelujah, also God is faithful, right? Because Jesus not only said, in this world shall there be tribulation, but he said, be of good cheer. You know why? I have overcome the world. But sometimes I don't. Because I don't cast all my care upon him, realizing he cares for me. And I'm glad some of you are already shaking your heads with me. That's good feedback, because in these times of difficulty, sometimes you feel all alone. Like nobody else understands. Can I tell you something? God understands. And I have learned, I hope, how to deal with difficulties, because there's been more and there's going to be more. I tell people, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or hold on, probably going to have a trial in the near future. Because that's part of life. That's part of sinful flesh. That's part of the curse of what we face. The question isn't whether you're going to have a trial or difficulty. The question is, are you going to handle it properly? Are you going to handle it biblically? And so in the first five verses of this first chapter of James, I want to share with you three biblical truths that we need to practice if we're going to deal with difficulties properly. So this is a time, if you're one that takes notes, I would encourage you to take out a pen or a pencil or, boys and girls, a crayon, whatever you want to use, and maybe write some of these things down. I'm going to try to make you remember them because I'm an educator, and I work hard at having people understand and remember messages. Now, I'll never be able to preach this message again when I come here because but that's what I like. I like that. I want that. Because we're all in the process of growing to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to grab hold of the truth of God's Word to accomplish that. And so in James chapter 1, let's go back and look at that passage again, and let's look about these biblical truths. What are they that will help us deal with difficulties properly? Let's go to verse 2 where it says, my brethren, so this is written to who? Okay, now you can talk to me. It's all right. It's written to believers. Brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's written to believers. So guess what? Believers have trials. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I know having people come to know the Lord as their Savior, I want to remind them that you're saved from your sins, but that doesn't mean you won't sin again. Because I've seen some new Christians get really depressed and discouraged because, oh boy, I'm saved from my sins and I'm going to go out and be perfect. No, no, no. There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're still in that sinful state. And so we're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have frustrations, disappointments. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So what's the first truth? In the midst of a difficulty, in the midst of the trial, rejoice. Isn't that what he says? And now God tells us, what are we supposed to do? You don't want to say it, do you? Because it seems not right, but it is. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 4:4, you know what the Bible says? We are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because it doesn't seem right that in the midst of a trial we should rejoice. Go back to the book on trials, 1 Peter. Talks a lot about trials in the book of 1 Peter. And just notice a couple passages of scripture here in 1 Peter, starting at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How many of you here today know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? May I see your hands? Guess what? You have a reservation. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven when you die or when Jesus comes. You have a reservation. Isn't that something we can rejoice in? No matter how bad the situation, Julie is in heaven. Probably our sorrow was for us because of dealing with that. But God is working through all these situations and we can rejoice and realize in this world's not our home. It goes on, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly, there it is, rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in the heaviness through manifold temptations. And we are in heaviness through manifold temptations in our life. Some are happening to some of you right now. Praise the Lord, I'm not in a big one right now, but I've been in some big ones, and I know I'm going to have some more big ones coming up. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, here again, to the brethren, to the believers, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as some strange thing hath happened unto you. But, what's the next word? Do you see it? Verse 13, 1 Peter 4, verse 13. Say it. Rejoice. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Did Jesus Christ have any trials? Did Jesus Christ have any difficulties? Jesus Christ was crucified. I know when I was going through some of my trials as a pastor, accusations being made and different things even in the midst of old me in 03, and I could spend the rest of the day telling you about those things. I had to remind myself that I hadn't been crucified yet. Now, there were probably some people in the church that wanted to crucify me, but they hadn't done it yet, and so I still had it better than Jesus Christ, right? As a matter of fact, Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, that's a key word, falsely, for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. I was president of the American Association of Christian Schools for 10 years, and during 03, I was the president, and some of these things that were being said and some of the letters that were written sent out to all the membership of the American Association of Christian Schools. And if the things in the letters would have been true, I wouldn't have liked me either. But since when do people have to tell truth? Many times, gossip is not the truth. It's slander. But that verse meant so much to me because of the fact that I could rejoice. My reward's not here in heaven. Here on earth, in heaven, I'm laying up treasures according to the scriptures. And I'm becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding what? If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Hey, come to Washington, D.C. with me. You'll be reproached for the name of Christ. You say, well, I don't have to go to Washington, D.C. Right at my place of work, I'm reproached for the name of Christ. Some of you may be called the Bible thumper, the religious nut, or whatever else it might be when you take a stand for Jesus Christ. I shared yesterday with the folks 2 Timothy in chapter 3, and where it says, if those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Hey, it's a way of life if you're going to live for Jesus Christ. So get ready and rejoice. Now, I got to add something to that, okay? Because I know it's not easy. It's not fun. And it's hard to understand. And sometimes we say why, and we shouldn't say why. We should say what. But we do. We have that, right? We do. We say, okay, I'm talking to me again. I do, so I'm assuming I'm made out of the same stuff as you. And so maybe you go through that sometimes too. Here's what I want to remind you. We maybe can't rejoice in the circumstance or rejoice in the problem. It wasn't, whoopee, Julie has cancer, okay? Whoopee, he embezzled $1 million from the church, or whatever else thing you want to start talking about. No, here's what we can rejoice in. Write this down. We can rejoice in the providence of God. Amen? Is God still God? Is he still in control? Is he working it all together for good? You know, we memorize Romans 8 and verse 28, but do we believe it? That he's, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. They do, because God's in control. Remember, he's the potter, we're the clay. And he's trying to form a vessel fit for his use. And we have to trust him with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him and what? He shall direct our paths. You see, we have to rejoice in the providence of God. It takes your theology, understanding of God, to help you to be able to practically respond properly to God. And he's sovereign. And he's working it all together for good. So rejoice in the providence of God. Would you say that with me? Rejoice in the providence of God. Again, rejoice in the providence of God. That's principle number one. That's truth number one. If you're going to deal with difficulties properly, you have to. Oh, you're doing great. We're going to make it today. We're going to make it. Let's go and look at number two. Look what it says in verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, and wanting nothing. How many of you memorize 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. Same word. Same word. That we might be perfect, we might be complete, we might be mature. In Ephesians chapter 4 says, until we come to the knowledge of the truth, unto the fullness of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what he wants. He wants us to become like Christ. Now, many of you know Romans 8:28. How many of you know Romans 8:29? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Here's truth number two. Remember the purpose of God. What was number one? Good. Now what's number two? Remember the purpose of God. Say it with me. Remember the purpose of God. One more time. Remember the purpose of God. And you can say it in one word. Christ-likeness. He's trying to get us to respond to trials and individuals that frustrate us in the same way he did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't know, Pastor, you probably are familiar with the debate of whether somebody has to ask forgiveness before you can really forgive them. Well, I'm telling you, if you buy into that false teaching, you're going to be a bitter person. Because you're going to be waiting forever. I have people that have wronged me that I have forgiven, and they've never come back and asked for forgiveness. Now, praise the Lord, I've had some that have. But there's others that still, you know, I'm not on a right relationship with from the standpoint of between the two of us. But I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, they're forgiven. I've had students come back that we had to expel from school that came back and said, oh, I want you to forgive me. I said, listen, I've already forgiven you. Because if you don't forgive, it'll tear you up. And we have to be like Christ. What did Christ do? Did the people that were crucified say, please forgive us, please forgive us? No, but what did he say? He prayed on their behalf. Father, forgive them. Don't take it out on them. He loved them. Aren't we supposed to love our enemies? Somewhere in the Bible doesn't say something about that on the Sermon on the Mount. And so, my friends, we have to remember the purpose. The purpose is to make us like Christ. Being reviled, he reviled, right? No. He reviled not again. He overcame evil with good. And sometimes I'm not so sure that one of the purposes of the trial that's coming our way is just to see if we can practice biblical principles on those people that are not being kind to us. Because isn't Jesus Christ long-suffering with us? Hasn't Jesus Christ been very kind to us? I mean, he still forgives me. Here I go again. There's a song that says, "Wash me now. Oh, wash me now." My oldest son, Matt, sings it a lot. And I'm telling you, I hear that. It's just, it reminds me again, that here we are again after I said I'll never do that again. And here I am doing it again, or I'll never go there again. And here I am going there again. Can you relate? You've been there. I mean, you're made all the same stuff as me, right? And I'm telling you, how long-suffering and gracious is our Heavenly Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's what he's trying to do with us. He's trying to make us more like Christ. And he's trying to make us more usable in his service. I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope this is a familiar passage to you. But if it's not, I want you to understand one of the purposes. Now, it's all to be Christ-like. That's the general. But I know there's specific purposes he can be trying to fulfill in your life. And I know sometimes he has to bring a trial to chasten us. I understand sometimes he uses his circumstances to direct us. But I find a lot of times he allows these things to happen so we can be used in a greater way. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Let's read them in unison do you all have the King James Bible or not? I don't want to put you on an awkward spot or anything. Okay, I'm reading out of the King James, so let me read it and let you listen. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, so this allows me to use the Carl Herbster version. Okay, that makes it nice. You don't think that I'm being... So here's what my version is. Sometimes God allows things in your life and brings you through them so you can help somebody else go through the same thing in their life. Sometimes God gives you the grace, and when you go through a difficulty, when somebody else is going through the same thing, you can be there for them to be an encouragement. God gives you a new ministry. My son Matt lost his wife and had 5 children to raise as a single dad. Now, since he's remarried and we have a wonderful daughter-in-law, Tiffany, and they're serving the Lord in Hong Kong, and it's exciting. But initially, that was a trauma. That's a difficulty. God brought him through it. And now he has a ministry to men with children that lose their wives. As a matter of fact, there was a serious bus accident in Indianapolis, Indiana. Chuck Phelps Church, Colonial Hills Baptist Church, and he lost his son and daughter-in-law on that bus accident coming back from camp. And unbeknownst to me, Matt found out that there was also a lady on that bus, a lady sponsor who was killed, who had a husband and 5 children. He drove through the night from the Wilds Christian Camp to Indianapolis, Indiana, not so that he could be a comfort to Pastor and to his wife and to the family because of the passing of Caleb, but because he wanted to minister to that man that had now the 5 children and lost it, because he knew what he was going through. And see, folks, you can minister to somebody better than I can if you've gone through something that I haven't gone through and God's given you his grace. And many times that's what happens with the ministry. I can relate to people that are dealing with cancer. I can relate to people that lose their children in ways that I couldn't otherwise relate. I can't relate, and praise the Lord I can't relate,
to anybody that has a wayward child or a wayward grandchild. But some of you probably do. And you know the pain, and you know the sorrow, and you know the hurt. And if God gives you grace, you can be an encouragement to come along. I know how you feel. See, I can't say I can give them biblical principles, but I can't walk in their shoes because I've not walked that path. And praise the Lord, I pray I never have to. But are you getting the point? God has a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is for us to be like Christ and serve others like Jesus Christ served others. That's what we're here for, is to serve one another. I don't know if there's any weightlifters here, but I met Caleb yesterday, so I'm going to put him on the spot. He should be a weightlifter if he's not. You know, when you have that size, you know, you have to keep bulking up a little bit. And of course, I understand we're having a meal today that will help us do that, you know, bulk up. But then you got to go kind of work out a little bit, you know. And so I already picked on him yesterday, so I know he's a good sport. All right. Okay, Caleb, here we go. If you're going to lift weights, do you ever lift weights?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I picked the right guy. Okay, if you want to build your muscles, do you put weight on or do you take weight off? How many of you agree with that, man? I see your hands. You think he's got the right. Yeah, that's right. You put more weight on, you don't take weight. Okay, and if you want to build endurance, do you do more repetitions or less repetitions?
More.
This guy is sharp. You know, he's got, how many of you agree with that one? I mean, you probably can tell I'm a weightlifter. You probably realize that I know it. Well, one day it was. But that's the truth. Physically, we want to build ourselves up or have greater endurance. We put on more weight and we do more repetitions. Well, then why are we surprised when God brings a deeper and more difficult trial in our hearts, in our lives, and maybe makes the trial go a little longer as He's trying to strengthen us for His work? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But you know, that just doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifetime of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's sometimes God has to put some weight on. And like any good trainer, he may do it whether the person wants it or not, just to help him have an opportunity. And folks, I'm telling you, when you understand God's got a purpose, God's got a plan, He's going to use this in your life and He's going to use you in the lives of others in a special way. I had the privilege of pastoring a church in Kansas City for almost 30 years and a wonderful group of people. And one of my jobs as a pastor was to connect people. When something would happen, their husband would run off with somebody and the hurt and the difficulty. Well, you know, I couldn't relate, but I had some other men in the church and ladies in the church that their spouses left them, and some others that had gone through terrible divorces, and I could put them together and let them minister and give them that ministry because I knew the congregation and I knew the situation. Somebody that lost their job, I could put them together with other people who lost their job. Of course, back in 2008, 2000, there are a lot of people who lost their job. And so there's a lot of, do you get the point? God's got a purpose. So when you're going through a trial, you're going through a difficulty, deal with it properly by number one, what? This is review. What is it? Great. What's number two? Okay, let's go back to James. You got those two. Here's one more and we're done. James chapter 1, look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, now by the way, how many of us lack wisdom? If you don't raise your hand right now, you lack wisdom. Because we're all in the process, so we all lack wisdom. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and he will consider whether he will give it to you. He will evaluate your situation and see if we are deserving of the grace that he would like to give you, but you know, it'll be his evaluation, and maybe sometime he'll do it. We'll see. Good, I heard some no's. Okay, then you help me out. In the Bible, when we read the Bible and we study the Bible, we look for certain types of truths. Sometimes there's commands, right? Thou shalt. Sometimes there's prohibitions, thou shalt not. Sometimes there's prophecies. There's biblical principles, general truths. That's what I'm kind of talking about today. General truths from which we make specific applications. What is this verse, verse 5? What kind of verse is it? And it shall be given him. I heard it! Thank you. I don't know where. Way in the back. Thank you, ma'am. Promise. Right? It's a promise. Aren't you glad for the promises of God? He will give it to you. We don't ask enough. I'm speaking for myself. I don't ask enough. I was telling the folks yesterday, every day, I pray that the Lord will give me wisdom and strength and the filling of the Holy Spirit so I'll walk in the Spirit and not give in to the lust of the flesh. That's just a daily prayer on my heart because I need it. And we all need it. And boy, young people, the sooner you learn that you don't have the answers, but God does. And godly people can help you with those, the better off it'll be for you. But it's a promise. If you ask, God will give it to you. He'll direct you. So, number one is you're supposed to... Good. Number two... And number three is rely on the promises of God. Say it. Aren't you glad for the promises of God? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? Promise of God. Never. You know? Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why? I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I always said, be careful, folks. He didn't say all your greed. He says all your need. You know, be careful. You don't get this out of... And boy, aren't we taken care of in the United States of America? I'll tell you, we're well taken care of. You know, he'll take care of us. Promise after promise after promise. My grace is sufficient for you. Right? We already thought about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Listen, folks. We need to grab hold of the truth of the Word of God if we're going to deal with difficulties properly. We don't memorize Scripture to impress people. We don't even memorize Scripture to be able to win contests, young people. Even though I'm not against those contests, you memorize Scripture because you need it to defeat the devil. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted in the wilderness, every time that the devil tried to tempt him, what did he do? Quoted Scripture. Quoted Scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. And surely you've memorized Psalm 119 and verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? What's the purpose of that memory? So I not sin against him. And boy, when you're dealing with a problem, an ongoing problem, find Scriptures to memorize. That you can have in your mind so that they constantly remind you of what you're about to do or what you should do or whatever else. And if you want to defeat the devil, you've got to get the Word of God into your hearts and into your minds. And I tell you, in my own life, it's usually those Scriptures that I'm memorizing because it's things I'm dealing with and difficulties I'm having and all those things. And boy, praise the Lord. That's the way we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I can do all things through Christ. Not because of me, but through Christ. And you know what? That strengthens me. That strengthens me. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 became very special to me after we came through the O me and O three. I said, I would have fainted except to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God had blessed our ministry and used our ministry and used our people. And we could go back and think about the things that God had done, like the children of Israel could reflect back and sometimes had to reflect back. And I would have fainted except to know that the goodness of the Lord and the land, God has been faithful. So, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's hard for me. So I memorized it. Because sometimes he needs to try my patience, because I'm not a real patient person, and I'm learning to wait on the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. He'll accomplish his purposes for his glory. How many of you know the name Ron Hamilton? Ron is really a pretty good illustration of what I'm trying to share with you today. And Ron, by the way, is the same age as I am. We're both from northern Indiana, good friends, co-laborers at many times in our lives. And he's dealing with some really serious sickness right now. I hope you'll remember to pray for him. But there was a time when Ron let us know that he was going to have to go into the hospital because he had a little speck in his eye. And he said, now, if that speck is just an infection or something, I'm going to wake up with a sore eye because they're going to put some medicine in my eye and all this sort of thing. But if it happens to be cancer, I'm going to lose my eye. And many of you are shaking your head, so you probably know what happened. When he came out of the hospital, he had a patch over his eye, and he had no eye. It had been taken away. Ron, being the guy he is, was back in church, and we went to the same church at that time, and he came into the church service, and he had a patch on his eye, and all the boys and girls were pointing at him and saying all kinds of snickering and all that kind of stuff, as boys and girls will do. And one brave boy finally walked up to him and he said, "Hey, are you a pirate?" And Patch, Ron, as those of you that might know him, he said, "Well, I guess I am. As a matter of fact, I'm Patch the pirate." And folks, that's how the children's ministry of Patch the Pirate began. Through a difficulty. But you may or may not know this. There's a song in your hymnal by Ron Hamilton called "Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes." Do you know when that song was written? After he lost his eye. He wanted to make sure that God knew and others knew that he wasn't making any. "When I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold." Well, folks, that's what we need to do. We need to let God take us through the fires of trials, fiery trials and difficulties, so that we can come forth as gold. And the only way we can do that is to do it the Bible way. And I think according to this passage, God gives us some wonderful truths for the Bible way. And just one last time, can we review them? What are they? Number one, rejoice, God's still in control. Number two, God wants us to make us like Christ and so we can have a better ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And three, get into the Word of God. Grab hold of those truths, that those promises that God uses to speak to you and gives you comfort and grace and gives you the ability to defeat the devil so that you can then use them and share them with somebody else that goes through a similar trial in the days ahead. Now let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I don't know you, and you're just getting to know me, And I've shared a little bit about some personal trials in my life, but I know in a congregation this size, there's some people that are going through some trials right now. Maybe not the same kind that I've mentioned, but trials, sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're financial, sometimes they deal with relationships, sometimes it's something in a job. Hey, we're all going through a trial in our country. We'll say more about that. But maybe today,
You need to cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. Thousands of people have prayed for the Herbster family through different situations, and especially in the passing of Julie. And I'd love to pray for you. I don't know the trial. I don't need to know the trial. Pastor may know it. He may not know it. Nobody may know it except you and God. But I'd like to remember you in prayer the way many people have remembered us in prayer as we close the service today. So would you, with the uplifted hand, say, Brother Herbster, pray for me. I'm going through a trial right now. Would you raise your hand in the air if that's the case so I can pray for you?